Welcome back to Intimidation Crusher. This is session 3 of 3. And so we want to connect the dots and play with some practical application of the ideas that we've been exposed to in the first 2 sessions. So in session 1, we talked about how intimidation is an inside job. Unless someone is very intentionally, physically intimidating or emotionally intimidating, you know, super intentionally, intimidation is an inside job. It's about how we perceive a situation as being intimidating. And because that's true, because intimidation is an internal thing, we can shift how we look at any situation. And instead of seeing it as intimidating, we could come to see it as inviting, as a challenge to overcome. And we do that by noticing that the intimidation comes from ego, that thinking, calculating, filtering, self-protective inner thoughts, those trickster thoughts. Look at a situation and says, oh, that's intimidating. She's intimidating. This situation is so intimidating. If ego looks at a situation and finds it intimidating, if ego looks and experiences intimidation, if we can flip over to view it through the eyes of essence, how could we flip it from being intimidating to being inviting? How can we approach the same situation with essence as opposed to ego? So if any of you are here for the first time and you're like, what is she talking about? Go listen to sessions 1 and session 2. So we identified, or I identified, 6 core areas of focus for entrepreneurs. And my friend Jean pointed out today that there perhaps should be a 7th area of focus having to do with administration, but I'm not adding it for my purposes because I put administration kind of in the section of tech and outsource that stuff. So looking at these 6 areas of focus, what we as entrepreneurs, where we're going to put our time and attention at any given time, in order to make progress and be successful with our business. I want to take a look at each of these areas and consider a real life application for what does it look like if we approach that in ego? And what does it look like if we approach that in essence? Does that sound good to you guys today? So in the first area of focus, let me open up that. So here's the Trello board. The first area of focus, you know, why are you in business? Who are you serving? What do you bring? All those things, you know, what do you want to be known for? These are all issues of purpose, knowing your purpose, and then branding. How does it all come together to represent you and your business? If you're approaching this in ego, what are you thinking about when you think about purpose? What kind of questions does ego offer up? You know, am I good enough? Am I qualified? Do I have enough experience? Do I have the certifications? Do I have to be licensed to do that? I mean, hey, if your dream is to become a lawyer, ego has some good questions there because, you know, you have to have a, you have to have a law degree and you have to pass the bar and you have to, you know, fulfill the requirements of that role. If you want to be a doctor, if you want to be, what are some other examples where certification and licensing is really important? Like I'm a physical therapy massage therapist that comes to visit me twice a month now. She has to be licensed to do what she does. So those ego questions have a good purpose. But what about if you're a coach consultant? What about if you're you want to help somebody with their relationships or help somebody with their self-development? If you want to help them live the life of their dreams, do those ego questions have to come into play? Some people would say, yeah, you know, you have to be certified to be a coach. You have to spend a lot of money and a lot of time pursuing a coach certification or getting certified as a master coach. And yeah, I mean, if that's important to your target market and that's important to you, yeah, those are important ego questions to say, you know, what must I fulfill in order to be, quote, doing this right? But does every target market care about coaching certifications? No, not at all. I could give a hoot and a holler whether or not any of my coaches are, quote, certified as a coach. I care about what have they actually done? What do they have going on in their life that makes me want to spend time with them and learn from them and be mentored by them? That's what I care about. So ego offers up all these requirements and justifications and reasons why you should or shouldn't pursue that purpose, pursue that dream. Ego offers up whether you're good enough. And in some situations, those ego questions make perfect sense and they are boxes to be ticked off, but in some situations, they're not. So what if you shifted out of ego into essence? What if instead of trying to tick off boxes and get things right, what if you just switched over into essence and asked that question, what do I want to create here? When I think about my purpose in business, what do I want to create here? Who do I want to be in service to? What do I see that's needed, and how can I fulfill it? What if you just followed essence into your dream and started creating? Ego has a place, but ego cannot run the whole show when you're dreaming a big dream. Ego will slow things down and make things unnecessarily complicated. Any thoughts on that before we move into the next area of focus? Looking at the focus area of choosing technology, ego has a lot to help us in this area. I would like the practical, strategic, let's get this right side of my brain to be involved in choosing my shopping cart, in choosing my email marketing tools, in choosing what conference room to have events like this in. I really like ego to be involved here. But my own personal expertise can only stretch so far around all of these choices. And so essence can play a part here in that rather than having to know everything myself, I can choose to trust someone else's recommendation. I can choose to say, you know what, I'm in relationship with Cindy and I know she knows a lot about this. So rather than me letting ego run away with me on the journey of having to know and understand every jot and tittle of this tech choice, I'm going to trust Cindy to give me a recommendation here. I'm going to trust, like when it comes to choosing a web theme, there are a lot of ego-driven elements to choosing a good WordPress theme. There are some ego-driven decisions to choose the platform. Am I going to use Genesis? Am I going to use Divi? Am I going to use Thrive Themes? Ego would want to know every little technical difference and potential benefit. But essence, my essence shows up in that choice to say, you know what? This is what I know. This is what I flow in. So I'm not going to let ego run away with me and make me research every other platform ad nauseum when essence is flowing right here and right now where I'm at using Genesis. So ego has a lot to do with tech. A lot of good ego elements come into play, but essence gets to play too. Trust your gut and go with what you feel drawn to. Any thoughts about ego and essence in tech? Jennifer says, ego and my inborn researcher runs away in this area of focus. I bet. And to some extent, that serves you and your business because you seek to be a gatekeeper for your target market. You seek to interpret these options for your market. So I can completely understand why researching and evaluating that you give it more time than some other people might want to. So let's move into attracting traffic. This involves creating content and promoting content. I want to spend some time here. So think about an item of content you're developing right now. So this could be an opt-in gift, a blog post, a podcast, a video, a webinar. Think of some area of content that you're developing right now. What does ego have to say about it? You can unmute yourself and if you want to engage with me on this for a few minutes, unmute yourself and tell me what you're working on. Jennifer says, ego suggests it has to be perfect.
Right. Not something I'm working on right now, but something I was working on earlier, and I think essence got me to put it away. That ego is telling me that I was working on an opt-in and a course, and it had to be perfect, and I'm researching things to death, and, you know, it's got to have all of the details in it, and it's just crammed full, and just stop. Because I think I let myself get away from what is it that my audience really wanted or needed. And I literally asked the question of, do they need as much information as I was cramming into this report? And the answer is no, probably not. I think it's actually a question also that I haven't, I know I need to update some opt-ins, and I haven't because I'm still trying to figure out how to get ego out of the way there so that I don't go through this again where I'm trying to be too perfect, doing too much.
I spotted it right away. Did anybody else, when you said, wait a minute, what is it my audience really wanted or needed? That pulls you over into essence. That it's got to be perfect. It's got to have all the details. It's got to be researched to the nines. I think that there's actually an essence-driven motivation there to be excellent. And you're operating in an academic environment. So the desire to be complete and have all the details represented is important. But where's the line? When is it perfect? When is it enough? I think that question of what is it my audience really wanted or needed is your key to pulling over from ego into essence to say what they really needed was this. Have I delivered that? Yes, then it is ready. Anybody else? Think about an item of content you're developing right now. What does Trickster have to say about it? It cracks me up. The name of this is Intimidation Crusher. Yet it strikes me that of all the groups that I've worked with, this one seems most intimidated to speak up. But that's me making an unfair assumption. I don't know what you're doing right now. You might be folding laundry. You might be designing a graphic. You might be across the room listening while you're cooking lunch. So I'm not going to assume you're intimidated to speak up. But I would love it if you would. let's say you're working on a webinar. You've been invited by a brand new joint venture partner. They reach a large community and they've invited you to come and teach, and you're working on the webinar. What does Trickster offer up about this? What are some of the thoughts, the intimidating thoughts that come up if you imagine yourself in that situation? They won't think I'm smart enough. They'll judge my level of experience. My slide deck won't be professional enough. Some of the Trickster thoughts that pop up for me. Anything else you got? Melissa says someone else will do a better job. I think when it comes to content creation, that thought that someone else would do a better job is trickster thought that runs rampant when I'm working with clients and groups are one-on-one and we're talking about what to write about. In pure essence filled brainstorming, all kinds of needs and concerns pop up and they're like, oh, I could write about this. I know my market deals with this. I could write about that solution. I know my market has this question. I could write that answer. In brainstorming and creative brainstorming from pure essence, ideas bubble up out of the blue in amazing ways, you know, again and again and again and again, and it's awesome. But then when they sit down to actually create the item of content, Trickster jumps in and says, oh, so-and-so does this so much better than I do. So-and-so would write this so much better. So-and-so would be, you know, have so much perspective to share. And then the who do I think I am thoughts kick in. Trickster jumps in with, who do you think you are? What makes me think I can write about this? When there are other people who've been doing it so much longer, why would anybody care what I say? Those are all ego-driven, trickster-driven thoughts. Remember, we can spot Trickster because he has foundational beliefs. You're not enough. You're not worthy. You're not lovable. You need to survive. Trickster thoughts are negative, critical, and fear-filled. It's full of you shoulda, woulda, coulda, should, have to, ought to. Cause you to worry about the past, worry about the future, anything to keep you from taking action right now. If these thoughts are running through your mind about a section of content that you're developing, how can you come out of that and come back to essence? You come back to that question, what do I want to create here? And that perfect thing that popped out of Jennifer's mouth, what is it my audience really wants or needs? Do they need somebody with more experience than you? Do they really need someone smarter than you? Do they really need someone perfect? Do they really need all of the details to benefit from an item of content? Trickster says so. Ego says so. But what does essence say? When you think about an item of content, close your eyes for just a second. Now, I just want you to think for what has inspired or equipped me lately? Like, what item of content made an impact on me? Anything in the last day or two or week? Was it perfect? Did it include all of the details? Was it provided by somebody with more experience than anyone else in the whole world? Was it accompanied by a perfectly professional slide deck? Did it have perfect sound quality? Did it have perfect video, Hollywood-worthy video quality? Probably not, right? When I think about content that has had an impact on me, in the last few days, I think of nothing that was perfect, nothing that included all the details, nothing from the smartest person in the world. But it was what I wanted and it was what I needed in the moment from a real person who showed up and offered what they had to offer. If you are getting intimidated in the creation of some item of content because Trickster's offering up all these reasons that it's not good enough, then step over into essence and say, what do I want to create here? Ego tends to, when we're really caught up in ego, when we're really intimidated, we get very still and quiet and small. We shrink into ourselves physically and metaphorically. So if you're going to shift from ego to essence, if you're going to get curious about what do I want to create here, take a deep breath, open yourself up, do a power pose, do that classic Wonder Woman power pose where you stand up and you shift your legs wide, put your hands on your hip, throw your shoulders back, lift your head up, open yourself up and take up as much space as you possibly can. Take a few deep breaths and say, what do I want to create here? What do I want to create for my community? What do I want to bring to the table? And Trickster pops in and tries to get into this conversation, but just keep brushing Trickster thoughts aside and stay in that position of essence. Beth said, if they need someone smarter than you, they aren't your audience. Speak to your audience. That's fantastic. Rebecca was responding to, you know, do they need someone, do they need the smartest person? No, they need someone just one step ahead. You're absolutely right. You are the solution for someone that hasn't gotten to where you are. You don't need to worry yourself with the fact that there are people farther ahead than you. You focus on the people who aren't where you're at yet. Once you've created some content in essence, by leaning into that question, what do I want to create here? Then we've got to promote that content. Creating the content can be a battle all on its own. And then once it's created, once you have developed that podcast, that blog post, that opt-in gift, that webinar, now you've got to invite people to consume it. And Trickster's ready to jump right in there and intimidate you from that. But again, shift over into essence. What do I want to create here? I want more people to see this content. Tish, thank you. Tish says, do you want to speak that out loud, Tish? I'd rather have them hear it from you than hear me read it.
Sure. So talking about like the Trickster thing and just pushing, you know, the thoughts aside, like you said, and just to keep going, like I get that. I get that it should be, well, here I am shoulding. I get that it should be as simple as pushing that thought away and keep on going. But when I have trickster thoughts, I tend to keep feeding what I call the ass-kicking machine. I'm literally feeding quarter after quarter after quarter into that. And it's like a broken record. These thoughts just keep playing over and over and over in my head. And I get more down on myself and more down on myself. You know, as an example, Kelly and I own Daily Faith PLR together, and I recently did a product for people where they could purchase personal use rights or purchase PLR rights, and I totally messed up the PLR rights version. Like, it had our branding on, like, all the videos, all the documents and everything. And a customer very kindly pointed out, was not even rude about it, and just said, well, I'm trying to figure out how I can use these when it has all your branding. So, and that was the first time I had done a product like that, but I've been around so long and know so much about PLR and have bought PLR with PLR rights before. I just was like, I literally was dumbfounded that I had been that stupid to make that massive of a mistake. So I had to redo everything. And this, it's been a while now, at least probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe. And I still, while I'm not beating myself up as bad as when it first happened, I still am like, how could you have been so stupid to do that? You know, your customers have to think that, you know, you're dumb because you did that. And yeah, so it's not always as simple as just pushing the thought away for me.
So on the screen, I've added a black box up at the top with a fact.
Mm-hmm.
I messed up. That's a fact. Like, I mean, you have identified, oh, I messed up.
Yep.
But then Trickster comes and adds, how could I be so stupid? What else does Trickster have to say about it?
Oh, gosh. you know that you're not smart enough to, you know, try to create products and all sorts of stuff. It just
Those of you who are here, if you have messed up on something.
Exactly. Bingo. Melissa. Yep. Yeah. Bingo.
See, someone else could do better. Anything else?
What were you thinking? Why did you think you could do this? It was a waste of time.
Jennifer, I should have known better. I love that term that you use of you're feeding quarters to the ass kicking machine. Has anybody else ever heard that phrase before? I don't know if that's a Northern Michigan phrase, but I hadn't heard of it before Tish used it. So there's a fact involved here. Subjective for sure, but you determined, given some feedback, oh, I messed up.
Yep.
That's not ego. That's not essence. That's just a thing. Here's a situation. Ego is creating intimidation around it with the, how could I be so stupid? You're not smart enough. See, someone else could do it better. Why did you think you could do this? I should have known better. Rebecca adds, what will people think? Mm-hmm. That is thing.
Yep.
Yeah. That's that fear-based thought, trickster thought. So Trickster comes in and offers up this interpretation from the situation, all full of intimidation. That, oh, see, I should never be doing this. I was never meant to be doing this. Oh. Now, how can we shift this from the intimidation? How can we shift it into an invitation? How can you shift it into an invitation? How have you shifted it into an invitation?
I don't know.
What are you doing about it now?
Well, after I fixed it, I've done absolutely nothing. Like, haven't promoted it or anything.
So, but you did fix it.
Yes.
You redid the videos.
I redid everything, yes.
What did you, did you view that as an opportunity?
I did, because I actually feel like redoing them was better than the first time around.
Ooh. Melissa says, what's the opportunity here? That's a fantastic way. You feel like the videos are better now.
Yeah.
Here's my chance to improve on my first try. So you approached it with, all right, sucks that I've got to do it again. But now I'm happier with my work.
And like thinking about it, I had fun doing it. Like, I love doing training tutorials and taking screenshots to put in like a training guide and also doing like the training videos. So even though I was aggravated with myself because it was time consuming, I still enjoyed it. Like, I love doing that.
So these are great ways to shift it. I know it wasn't simple in the moment. It's not like it would be wonderful if in the moment of the mess up, you could have immediately went straight to the essence perspective and viewed it as an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Fact is, it wasn't easy to do that. You fed quarters into the ass-kicking machine, and Trickster beat the hell out of you.
Yep.
Until he didn't. Until you shook yourself out of it and shifted. You shifted and you redid it.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't intimidate you into inaction. That is so worth celebrating. I hope you realize that.
Well, it took a little, it was a little inaction for a couple days. Not going to lie about that. I had a pity party for a couple days, and then I was like, okay, well, it's not getting me anywhere sitting here, you know, beating myself up. I have to, the fact was I had to redo it. So okay. I was like, do it.
So what, did you guys notice that Trickster just deflected that compliment? I pointed out that she shifted. You shifted and you fixed it and you even enjoyed yourself because you like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that is really admirable. And Trickster said, yeah, but. See, Trickster.
I do that all the time.
That's just, and we all do. Trickster ego is running all the time. And it would be fabulous if we could live and breathe and be in essence every minute of every day. Can you imagine what we would create? The dreams we would make come true, the resources we would develop, the clients we'd attract and serve. Can you imagine?
I would certainly be doing a whole heck of a lot more than what I'm currently doing, other than, don't get me wrong, I love my VA business. I love my clients. I love working with them. But I almost feel like I'm stuck in a revolving door. I get up, I do the same thing pretty much every day, and I'm constantly like pushing. I have my, you know, my Shining Self website that is like an absolute passion of mine, but I don't make the time to do it because I'm like, you can't work on that because, you know, your VA business pays the bills. And then the, what's the word I'm trying to think? Recurring income from Daily Faith. Like, I still push working on that business because I'm like, well, that still isn't like my bread and butter. So if I was in essence, I would be doing a whole heck of a lot more than just taking care of my clients.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for letting us play with your situation and look at how we can shift from being intimidated by the situation to viewing it as an invitation and taking some action. If you remember something I said in the beginning of the first session is intimidation is only a problem when it stops you from taking the appropriate action. So we've all faced some level of intimidation in embracing our purpose. But if you've taken action, if you've gotten clear on that purpose and you can communicate it to me clearly over a cup of coffee, well, you crushed the intimidation and you developed the purpose anyways. If you faced the intimidation of tech choices and made choices, you crushed it. If you have faced this process of being intimidated by the development and promotion of content and created content anyways, you crushed it. It's only when the intimidation stops you cold or slows you way down that it's a problem. Intimidation is always going to be there. Ego is always going to be self-protecting. Trickster's always going to be offering up a whole lot of crap. But we're shining the light of awareness on it. And once that awareness has been developed, you cannot put it back away. It can't hide anymore. It can't operate at a 100% subconscious level anymore, not once you've really spotted it in action. And so let me ask you guys, in the area of building community, engaging with your mailing list, engaging with your social following, connecting with joint venture partners, potential joint venture partners in that area. Is anybody feeling really intimidated there? Anybody want to talk about it, volunteer to play?
Joint ventures? I'll play on joint ventures.
Yeah. So is there a subjective truth? Like,
what do you mean?
What's the situation where you're feeling intimidation?
Oh, reaching out to Nicole has challenged me with reaching out to 10 new potential affiliates every
week. So
which is something I know that I need to do, but I'm still intimidated at reaching out to people who I perceive to be
of a much higher level or much more successful than me. Like, who do I think I am?
Sorry, I lost my...
I've never seen anyone use Photoshop as a whiteboard before. This is really kind of interesting.
I used to use my... That Image Composer was the tool I used to use all the time. That gives more of a clean white space to type on, but that doesn't work on my... It finally gave up. For some reason, 1997 software just doesn't work anymore.
I hate when that happens.
But I'd rather type into something I'm real familiar with than use the whiteboard here in Zoom. So the subjective reality is that you have to do some reaching out. And ego makes it intimidating by saying things like, oh, they're much more successful than me. What else does Trickster offer up about this?
That they're going to judge me, that I'm not good enough.
I'm not good enough. And anything else? If anybody else has a similar situation where you know you need to be doing outreach, what Trickster thoughts come out for you? What else does Trickster offer up? Jennifer says, I'm too unknown.
I don't have a big enough list.
What else we got? The fact that they are much more successful than me, there's some subjective truth to that. If you're reaching out to someone who's been doing it longer, has a larger community, has more reach, but what does Trickster make up about that?
That it matters.
What
because matters? It really shouldn't.
What does it mean about, what is Trickster saying that it means about you? Tina Two-Step has a mailing list of 30,000 people and has done successful joint ventures with at least three people you know and respect. And you want to reach out to her, and she's so much more successful than you. What does Trickster say to you about that?
Yeah, what Cindy C says, that you're not worthy.
I'm not worthy.
I'm not worthy of her attention.
Awesome. Can you guys relate to all this? So I agree with you completely. Validate that reaching out to people who have a reach and a track record, whom I respect and admire, reaching out to them can be an extremely intimidating situation. How can you shift into viewing it as an invitation? From just shifting over into essence. What do you want to create for her? What can you create for them, Cindy?
What I can create for them is content for their audience, good resources for their audience, help them serve their audience better. Not to mention money.
That's very worth mentioning. What can only you bring?
Well, I mean, no one else is me, right? No one else has my unique experience or perspective.
Amen. When it's as somebody who looks to joint venture with other people, it doesn't matter to me that the person I'm joint venturing with has a smaller reach. That doesn't even begin to enter into the equation. I do know some JV people that it does. They're looking for that quid pro quo. I'll promote you if you'll promote me. I love it when that happens. But that isn't always going to happen. But you brought so much value to my community, you know, in teaching something I don't teach. You know, not, I flirt in and around and about the whole funnel thing, but I don't specifically teach what you taught. So you created content for my audience, you created, you brought resources that serve, and you brought me money, so thank you. I liked my affiliate checks. Perhaps most importantly, you brought your unique experience, your story. That's huge. If you indulge in ego, you're going to slow down. What happens in ego when trickster is running away and making a situation intimidating? We have to build ourselves up more. We have to like amp ourselves up to make the contact. We have to, you know, like hype ourselves up for it, build up our courage, make the ask. In ego, it takes us longer to recover from that. And so the asks are few and far in between. We slow it down. I'll just start with this one. That's what ego allows. I'll just start with this one. What would it look like in essence if you were just over here indulging in essence, saying, oh, I have content for your audience. I have resources that serve. I have my story and I have money, affiliate commissions. Do you make more invitations? Do you contact more people? Do you move more quickly from one invitation to another, in essence?
Definitely.
Yeah. I hope you guys, please tell me if this is illustrating for you how you shift from how intimidation is an inside job. Trickster is our voice. It's our ego, our self-protective ego. It can look at a situation and it can make any opportunity intimidating. And essence, our natural, creative, lively side of us, can take any situation and make it an invitation. Once the light is shown on that any situation can be intimidating or inviting, just based on whether you lean into ego or lean into essence, once that light is turned on, what's possible for you? I can tell you what's been possible for me. A lot. A lot. Oh, it's after 2 o'clock already. We didn't even get to like making products. I'm positive that there's a lot of intimidation offered up by Trickster in regards to offering services, creating products, running memberships, running affiliate promotions. The same little process of noticing what does Trickster say about it and how can I shift over into essence and see it as an invitation. The same process. You can go through the same process. As we wrap up today, do you have any comments or questions? We're going to have a Q&A session on Friday. And it's just open discussion about all of this. I want you to be thinking about, like, where's Trickster showing up in all the things that you want to do for your business? And play with, how do I shift this from viewing it as intimidation to viewing it as an invitation? And understand, it's easy to draw a piece of paper with a line down the middle and suggest that it's as simple as shifting. But Trickster pulls me back and forth. It's not like once I identify the essence action, boom, I'm off and running. No, Trickster pulls me back and forth and offers up new objections all the time. So just play with it and think about questions or comments that you'd like to share on Friday. I'm going to stop the recording.